the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. We're going to preach a message tonight, I told you this morning, which I've entitled, Just Knowing the Will of God. Knowing the Will of God. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, 12th chapter of Romans. Let's begin reading at verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us pray. Father, once again, I want to thank you. I want to praise your name and thank you for who you are. Thank you for the scripture, the word of God. Help this preacher tonight as he preaches. Father, I need your wisdom. I need your power. I just need all things from you, Lord. And I ask those things from you. And Father, please tonight, take the word of God. Take this simple message and use it to thy glory. And Father, that your kingdom will receive the benefit of it. Father, we'll see folk just willing to just know God's will and to do it. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll always praise you for how good you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I believe it's so important that we just know the will of God for our life. I believe that with all my heart. And I don't believe that's just true for young people. I believe that's true for all of us, that we need to know the will of God. I think it's very important for young people to know the will of God because they're stepping out, making some of the greatest decisions that they'll ever make. When they graduate from high school, they in the next couple, 3 years, possibly, they'll make some of the biggest decisions they'll ever make for the rest of their life. They'll decide if they're going on to college, where they're going to go to college. They'll decide who they're going to marry down the road here if they get married. And what they're going to do for the rest of their life usually is found out in the first years after graduation. So they're making some of the greatest decisions that they'll ever make. And they certainly need to know the will of God. As we'll say in our message, it isn't important what you and I want. It's important what God wants. Now, I think God can mesh the two together. I think he can make us happy in the will of God. And I believe that. I never would have chose to be a preacher. You may not understand that. I don't know. But I never would have chose to be a preacher. It was out of my realm to get up in front of people and to do all those things I had to do to be a preacher. But God meshed it together and made me happy in the Lord to be a preacher. Okay, so I'm saying I believe God can put all the things together. He can put all things together, but it's not important what you or I want. It's important what God wants. Amen. So I just want to make a little bit of some opening statements here, a little bit of introduction. I think there's a lot of people who misunderstand. Christians misunderstand their relationship with God. And so because of that, I think their life, their Christian life, becomes a endurance instead of an enjoyment. I think they don't understand that God wants good for us and that God wants there to be joy and happiness in our Christian life. And many times we endure the Christian life rather than enjoy the Christian life. People just with the old long face, they're just enduring being saved. They're just enduring going to church. They're just enduring trying to get into the will of God and be what God wants them to be rather than enjoy it, to have a happiness about what God has done for them. So I know, first of all, that the only way I can please God, first of all, I had to be saved. That's simple. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but you must be saved. You must be born again. No way you're going to enjoy the things of God if you're not saved. You have to be saved. You have to be born again, you see. And Christ then, after salvation, called us into a new life. It's not the old life retouched and made better. It's a new life. We've got to get a hold of that, you see. You see, it's not just some of our old steps and some of our old habits and motives bettered. It's a new creation. When God saves us, He creates us anew and makes us a new creation in Him. And many times, people spend the rest of their life just trying to clean up their old life and trying to make it better for God. And that's not what it's all about. When you get saved, you become a new creation in Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ living in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So, and because of that, and I'll read here, if you want to turn over 1 Corinthians, you may, but I'm going to read you two verses. Because we're saved, and because we now want to walk with God, here's what God gives us some instructions in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and here's what He says in verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's verse 19, chapter 6. Which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, what God is saying to us is, you're bought with a price. I'm bought with a price. I don't belong to me. I'm not mine. It's not my decision what I should do in life. It's God's decision. Now, this is a tough one, folks. You may not think so. You may just let that just kind of drift by. But I'm telling you what God is saying. When you get saved, you do not belong to you. You're bought. You're His. Amen. You're bought with a price. We know what that price was. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And He says, therefore, because you're bought with a price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We now belong to God. We're His. Amen. You know, I've told many young people this. I told a young person this not very long ago. It just doesn't matter what you want. Now, you can say anything you want, but you belong to God. It just really doesn't matter what you want. It's not your business. It's God's business. Amen. So we need to know, of course, what that is. So I believe that God wants me to please Him by being saved, and then He wants me to please Him by walking as a new creation in Jesus Christ and realizing that I belong to Him. I suppose I'm just about like everybody else. I don't know how you feel about it, but there's times, you know, if I had to choose, you know, I wouldn't choose to do this or that. The old flesh wouldn't choose it. I don't know whether you have that problem or not. I try not to choose. I try to let God choose. Got a new life in Him, you see. And what we need to do is realize and come to the realization, and I want you to get that point. I want you to come to the realization that you're not yours. You're a new creation, and you now are His. Now, have you got a hold of that? Now, can you say that right now in your heart? I don't belong to me. I belong to God. And it's what He wants that matters, not what I want. You see, and where we have trouble doing that, believe me, and I'm sure that there's people in this congregation not knowing who they are, but I'm sure some of you are having trouble saying that. I mean, I'm the Lord's, and whatever He says is all right. Whatever He wants is all right. You see, a lot of it is our attitude. I'll talk about attitude in a minute, but a lot of it is our attitude. You see, when we try to decide, and we try to decide where, when, how long, that's an insult to God. It's not up to us. It's up to Him. He bought you with a price. Amen? You say, well, God, where am I going to go? None of your business. When? None of your business. How am I going to do it? None of your business. How long am I going to have to stay? None of your business. It's God's business. Now, more than likely, He's going to let you know step by step along the way. But it's none of your business. It's God's business. Amen. Now, I believe something, you know, on a day-to-day basis, I believe we ought to, even the smallest decisions, we ought to yield to God. There's a lot of things that I do on a day-to-day basis that a lot of times I don't get a great revelation. God doesn't say, go put some gas in your car. The tank's on empty and I got enough sense to know I need to go put some gas in my car. I try to use common sense. But I believe this, even in the smallest details of life, it may be that God will tell me where to go to put the gas in my car. Because there may be somebody there needs a gospel tract. You understand what I'm saying? You see, I believe that God moves in even the smallest things, you know. But when I don't know for sure what it is that God wants anything different, I usually pull up at Dave's down here and get some gas. That's what I've been doing for years. I'm witnessing to Dave, I'd like to see Dave won to Christ. He's no reprobate. He's just like me before I got saved. He needs saved. I'm not picking on Dave. I'm just saying he needs saved. He needs Christ. Amen? So what I usually go down there and buy my gas. I buy it other places too. But what I'm just simply saying is on a day-to-day basis, we all get God involved in everything we do. Amen? So in Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse and the second verse, I believe that the will of God is not just some intellectual process. It's a spiritual experience. It's something that God does for us on a daily basis. The will of God is so important that God helps us to stay within the will of God. Now, I'm going to probably do this at the last of the message, but I'm going to give you one sure way to know the will of God. Okay? Because God's promised that He's not trying to hide the will of God from us. He doesn't want to hide. He wants us to know the will of God. Amen. So first of all, he tells us in chapter 1, he says that he beseeches therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now we'll probably come back to these things later, but God is saying present. Have you ever went to God in prayer and presented yourself and said, here I am, I'm living. And I'm willing to be a living sacrifice. I'm willing just to do whatever you want, be whatever you want. Here I am. God says that's the first thing you do. Amen. You present yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Here I am. I'm living. I'm a sacrifice. Just do with me whatever you want to do with me. Okay? Then we know also that he says that holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now he says, not only a living sacrifice, now get it, folks. He says, holy. Do you get it? Acceptable unto God. Is there anything acceptable unto God other than holy? Now remember, listen to this process. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to tell you something. It's just better to yield to God now than to fight it. Because you're not going to win. And even if you do not do and follow the will of God, you're miserable. It's just better to yield to the Lord, to do what He says. I think God allows sometimes circumstances that comes into our life that would have never had to come into our life because we failed to just yield and present our bodies a living sacrifice. And I think God has had to teach us and train us and a lot of crucial times has come into our life and to help us bring us to the place of yielding unto the Lord. And I believe there's a lot of things could be avoided if we had just yielded to start with. Amen. You see, you've heard the illustration, and I won't belabor it, but kind of figure yourself right now as a house. You've heard that illustration as a house, and you're the house, you're the body. The Holy Spirit lives within you. You're the temple of God. So let's look at you as a house. And when you first get saved, a lot of times you sit around and you say, you know, this is where I live. This is a living room, and I'm going to give that to God. And pretty soon you find out that there's been some other rooms in that house that God wants also. And you look around, you say, well, I've been guarding those. I haven't given those to the Lord. And so you decide that maybe you ought to give this room to the Lord. Later on, you say, I ought to give this room to the Lord. You get it down to the very last room, and there's a closet over here, and you're guarding it like Tim was guarding that room down there. And you're saying to God, you can have everything in this house, but you can't have that closet. That's mine. And God deals and works and works, and pretty soon you say, okay, Lord, there's the closet. But there's a shelf up there that's not yours. Now, you don't literally say this, but it happens all the time. There's an area of our life that we are unwilling to give to God. And God will never be satisfied till you're willing to give him the shelf also. See, he wants it all. You say, well, why does God want it all? He doesn't have you unless he has it all. See, as long as you got some hid back here that you're going to keep for yourself, this is what I'm going to do, this is the way I'm going to be, this is mine and it's not anybody else's, he doesn't have you. He wants it all. Never be satisfied until he has it all. Amen. Have you given him that closet? Have you given him that shelf? He says it's only our reasonable service to do so. Now, folks, listen, don't think of this thing as some big deal that you really have really sacrificed to do this, presenting your body as a living sacrifice to God. It's just you and I's reasonable service. It's just a reasonable service, God says. It's just something you and I ought to do. Amen? But let me say also, surrender must come before knowledge. Now, we'll teach on this in a little while, but listen to me. Surrender to God must come before knowledge of his will. Now, you mark it down. A lot of folk want the knowledge. We want to know what it is God wants before we decide to accept his will. God doesn't work that away. See, but we want to know. We want to know the will of God. Okay, God, what are you going to have me do? And heaven's quiet. All he wants is you. He just wants you. You hear me? He just wants you. And later on, he'll let you know what he wants. You see, what happens when you accept the will of God, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God? Do you understand what you're doing? You are putting your hands, yourself, in the hands of Almighty God. And then you know who's responsible? You see, what if it don't turn out? God's responsible. You've placed yourself in the hands of God. He now is responsible to take care of you and watch over you. There's things I can look back on, and I sometimes honestly don't like to talk about myself, but I look back on my life, and I see what God done to through our lives and how he took care of us in times that are just so difficult, and I'm going to tell you something. He never fails. You know why? Because he is responsible to take care of this preacher and his family. And he would have never let it be said that I would come to him and said, you didn't do your job. So do you think he's going to fail in your account? See, he's waiting for you to say, here am I. I am presenting myself a living sacrifice. So we're replacing our future in his hands. Now I want to give you one thing and then we'll go on through here in a moment. But I want to go back to Psalms 106th Psalm. And I want to show you something that I think is very important. It won't take me but a minute to do it. 106th Psalm. I want to start reading at verse number 13. 106th Psalm, verse 13. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Listen. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. The Israelites wanted to do something contrary to the will of God, and God let them. But he sent them leanness of soul. He didn't even say he sent them leanness of prosperity. There's people who is very prosperous today, but their soul is very lean. Why? Because they have not chosen the will of God for their life. And when you choose not to do the will of God, there's going to be a leanness of the soul. Do you hear me? Is that what you want? Choose God's will. Now, we know that the will of God always is the separation from the world. The Bible tells us to love not the world. Now, he's not talking about people. He's not telling us not to love the people and even to enjoy God's world that he made. How can anybody go out of a night and look up into the sky and see the wonderful beauty of God's creation and not enjoy it and love it? God's not talking about that. He's talking about the world system that old Satan has set up, that Satan rules. He says you're not to love the world. And let me say to you, even there, worldliness, as we talk about, does not necessarily mean something material. It's a way of life that is opposed to God. Let me show you over in Ephesians here. Turn over to Ephesians, the first chapter, I believe. No, it's the second chapter, I think. Let me get there. Second chapter, yes, second chapter. Verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, he tells us here that this is a life that is opposed to God. It's against God. This is what the world does. And he says, you fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's opposed to God. That's against God. You hear me? It's a different life when you get saved. You're different. You've got a new direction to go. See, a lot of the old worldliness here is primarily a lot of our attitude that we have toward the things of the Lord. In Romans 12:2, where he talked about not being conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, let me ask you a question. Why is it? People's asked me this. I've looked at it. I've watched it. Why is it you can have young people that all at once they come in, they want to do right, they want to dress right, they want to live right, they want to be the very best they can for God, and you have other young people that absolutely don't want to do that? Don't you understand what the problem is? The other people, the young people there that don't want to do that, are being conformed to this world. They are not being transformed. You see, is it an odd thing? Some of those young people that look at the other young people that want to do right, and they say, there's some kind of an idiot. They're just silly. No, they're not. They're doing the will of God. And they don't have any trouble with dressing right. They don't have one problem with dressing right. Not one problem. They don't have one problem not going to the wrong places. You know why? Because they want the will of God. They're not going to conform themselves to this world. They've chosen the right way. And we want to wonder why these others are that away, because they're conformed to this world. They're conforming themselves to this world and the things of this world. That's what they are doing. You ought to get a hold of that and realize where you're at. Amen? You see, another thing, I believe another thing is we pray a lot of times. People pray for the will of God. Worldly Christians pray. They want to know what the will of God. Well, listen, God can't give it to you. You don't understand it. You won't understand it. You won't accept it. You know, I've had people want me to pray for God's will in their life who are worldly. You know what? I never pray for the will of God for that kind of a person. I pray that God will open their eyes to see where they are and understand that they will never understand or receive the will of God for their life because they're worldly, they're carnal, they're conformed to this world, and God cannot give them His will. And I'll show you and I'll prove that to you in just a moment. They're not prepared to do that, you see. I don't believe God gives the specific will of God to any individual until they're willing to fulfill and follow the revealed will of God. You know, and now listen to me. And everyone in here, do you believe that it is scripturally right for you to tithe? Do you believe that? Do you tithe? Now, you know it's the will of God to do so. When you don't do the will of God, you think God's going to come in here and say, okay, let's forget that and I'll give you some specific instructions of what I want you to do. Well, absolutely not. You've got to follow the revealed will of God that God has already revealed to us. He's told us not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. It's right to attend church. It's right to be faithful to church. And some people who are not faithful to church and don't go to church, and they want to sit outside and ask God for His will. No, the revealed will of God has already been told them. You get yourself in attendance. You get yourself under the Word of God. Young people, the revealed will of God is that you obey your parents. Is that the revealed will of God? Is that what God says in His Word? And you're unwilling to do that, and then you want God, oh God, give me your will. I want to know. Forget it. God's not going to give you the specific will of God and where He wants you and what He wants you to do if you're not willing to obey what God said in His Word. And you can go through a lot of things. If we have time, we may do that. What for? So that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove it. The word prove there speaks of discerning and knowing. Understanding what the will of God is. How can you understand and know what the will of God is when you won't even do His revealed will? Look at John. Let's go back to John, the 15th chapter. John 15, chapter verse 18 and 19. If the world hates you, you know that it hateth me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Don't you understand what God said? Jesus says, the world hates me. Do you understand why the world loves you so much? Because you're of it. The world will love you because that's what you are. You're of the world. The world's going to hate you when you want to be like Jesus. It's going to despise you. You won't be popular. Young ladies, young men, you won't be very popular. Especially with the world. When you want to act like God would have you act. You're not going to be popular. Okay, now I want to show you over in John, the 17th chapter, verse 15 and 16. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See, Jesus says, you know, I'm not saying that, God, that I want you to take them out of the world. He said, I want you to keep them from evil. See, the thing that God wants is for you to be kept from evil. That's what he wants. Why? Because you're not of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And Jesus just wanted you to not act like the world and keep you from evil. That's God's will. I want to show you over in Galatians, please. First chapter of Galatians, verse 4. Who gave himself, Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. See, the purpose of God is to deliver us from this evil world, not to become a part of it, but to be delivered from it. Amen? Let's go over now to the book of James. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Will you take that and read that and listen to it and understand what God says? If you want to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Now, isn't that what he says? Let's go on over to John, 1 John. Second chapter, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Did you hear it? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Did you understand that God is saying to us, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him? Do you understand that's what God said? Now, do you get that? God never lies. Amen? Look, go with me one more verse of scripture here. Colossians, the third chapter. Verse 1 through 3. What does God tell us to do? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Did you hear what he said? Where are you and I supposed to set our affections? Where is our love to be? Now, folks, those are simple statements. That doesn't take expounding the scriptures to understand them. If you're God's child, if you've been saved, he says you're to set your affections on the things above, upon the Lord, you see. And what he's telling us is so that we will not be conformed to the pattern of this world. You're not to conform yourself to this world, and it has a pattern. Its pattern is much different than God's pattern. A young man goes out and makes $1 million, and the world applauds him. And he says, oh, my, my, this young man is so successful. A young man goes out and gives his life to a four corner of the world, dedicates himself to serving God, and the world says he's wasted his life. But God doesn't. I won't belabor it, but I was considered foolish when I quit Anaconda Aluminum Company, a very good job. When I quit that job to go to preaching, I was considered very foolish by my friends and by my family. Not my immediate family. Very few people give me any encouragement about doing that. You see, when you choose for God, you choose a different route. It's different than what the world would choose. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, the Bible says. In other words, he does not pattern his life after the world's counsel or standard. It's not important what this world thought of me quitting and going into the ministry. It doesn't matter. Their standard would have said, you're foolish, you're silly giving up that good job. But God's standard is, he said, you do it. You follow me. And I've never done without a meal, as you can see. I've always had the needs of my life met. My family, my wife. Sometimes has it been difficult? Oh, so what? Does it matter? I stand here today. I stand before you. Okay. I've been preaching now for close to 35 years. Is it okay? Yes, it's okay. Amen. See, and the world says Bob Ross is foolish. He's silly for quitting that great job he had over there. Foolishness, silliness. No, God says you're not foolish. You're not silly. You're right in following the will of God. See. Do I have you in Colossians 3rd chapter? Let me just read there real quickly. 3rd chapter, 17th verse. Listen. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What is it? How do you determine what is the world's pleasures? What is right to do in this world? God just says, he says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And while you're doing it, give thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do, you can say, thank you, Jesus, for letting me do this, and it's right and proper that I do it. And then listen to what he says immediately after that. Wives, he says, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children. And he begins, servants, obey. See, he begins to, and masters, how to treat their servants. He begins to give us some instructions on what to do. Why? After he's already told us everything you do it to the glory of God. Then he instructs us how to live. Amen. The Bible tells us that we cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot be a servant of God and wealth. One of those will control you. No doubt about it. One will control you. That doesn't mean you cannot make a living. That doesn't mean any such thing. But you cannot be a servant of wealth and let it control you and still serve God. It won't happen. Amen. Now, just let me share something with you. Back in Romans. I want you to get this if you've got nothing else I've said. Listen. Listen very carefully. In the book of Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's a first move in this thing of knowing the will of God. You must present your bodies a living sacrifice. Whether it was in an altar here in a church or somewhere you got alone with God, you have to present. Now, that's the first step. You must present yourself a living sacrifice. Secondly, he says it must be a holy sacrifice. A holy life. Which is acceptable unto God. Which is our reasonable service. Now listen to what he says. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you understand what he said? You cannot be conformed to this world. You hear what he says? And you're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We know that's done through the word of God. But we've allowed God to work in our life and heart to renew our thinking from what we did when we was in the world. Now get it. Don't be conformed, because listen, you cannot get to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God before you go through, first of all, don't be conformed. A lot of people want to jump to the end of that verse of scripture, and I want to know what the will of God is in my life. But they don't want to do what God said to do to know. And God says you must present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable servant. Then he says, what does he say? Don't conform to this world. See, they want to skip over that. They don't want to be holy. They want to conform to this world, be what this world wants them to be, and enjoy the things of this world, and then want God to say, I'm going to tell you what I want from you. It don't work. And it isn't going to work. God has a standard and a way of doing it. If you want to know the will of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto him, holy and acceptable unto God. And you don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you then may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't you go telling God that you want to know your will before you go through the steps he's told you how you can know your will, the will of God. Amen. So I say to you, you want to know the will of God? You really want to know it? Do it. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to this world. I skip by holy and acceptable unto God. You be holy. You live holy lives. Don't you conform yourself to this world's standard. God's got a different standard. See, you, many young people, and I see them, and even adults, I see them. They want to do what the world wants to do. They want to dress like the world. They want to be like the world. They want to go where the world goes. And then they want to say, I want the will of God. It don't work. The reason you're wanting those things is because you're being conformed to the world and not being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You say, Brother Ross, is it hard to know the will of God? No, do what he says. The will of God will come automatically. It will. It'll come. It'll come within your life. I don't know what he's when, what time, and all of these, but he'll just do it. If you mind him, if you do what he says, it'll just come. He'll open the doors and close doors and show you what he wants, and he'll do those things, but you got to do this first. You know why? Because he owns you. Amen. And me. You don't own you. You say, well, I got to figure out what I'm going to do tomorrow. Why don't you just ask God? He owns you. Why don't you just ask him? You're bought with a price. You don't belong to you. Now, if you want to know the will of God, do what he says. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. You say, amen? A lot of people has faltered and made a mess of their lives simply because they would not follow this process. They've determined they're going to know the will of God for their life. Baloney. Baloney. That's the way you know it, right there. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Say, Pastor Ross, I do want to know the will of God. I want you to pray for me. And I am willing to follow that which God said in his word to know it. I'm willing to say that. I'm willing to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I'm willing to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind, so I may know, I may prove, discern, know the will of God for my life. Would you just raise your hand? That's what I want. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm willing to do. God bless you. Thank you so much. It's what I'm willing to do. It's what I want. I want to know God's will. That's the way I'm going to know it. Anyone else? Say, I just want to know. Thank you. Thank you. See your hand. Thank you. Father, my prayer is tonight that you would help these dear folk that just put their hand in the air saying, you know what, God, that's what I want. And I know, Lord, the cost it'll take to do that. Got to be willing to follow that which you've pinned down in your word. But I'm willing to do it step by step. I'm just willing to be that for you so that I'll know the perfect will of God in my life. I ask your blessings upon them. I pray for others, Lord, throughout the congregation. Maybe they didn't raise their hand. Maybe they're concerned about this. Maybe they made not making the right decision. Or maybe they've already made this decision. They've already made that decision a long time ago, and they're following it. They're doing what God says in His Word. I just pray the will of God be done in each life here, and we'll thank and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.